If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Old Testament book of Isaiah. And with a finger there, also flip over to the New Testament book of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 9, and then Luke chapter 1, beginning in Luke at the 26th verse. And in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Listen carefully to God's word. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Amen. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Whenever a new baby is born into a family, one of the most exciting aspects of parenting, and perhaps calmest before the little one arrives, is to determine a new name for this offspring. I know some parents actually get out dictionaries of names and thumb through and find one they like. Other parents will choose a name that promotes one side of the family, or if they really want to be harmonious, then they'll give the child names from both sides of the family. Then there are others in some cultures and other folk who are totally creative in giving their poor little defenseless offspring names. I mean bizarre names. And they can't do anything about it except when they get older and they ask, "Mommy, Daddy, why did you name me the way you did?" Regardless, one of the significant moments is when the parent actually decides on a name for this little offspring. How fitting it is as we think about the Christmas season and consider a series of messages on the Christmas theme from the book of Isaiah to think about the naming of this Christ child. as we consider some of his names from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What a name. What a name for a child. He is called Wonderful Counselor. Actually, the name Wonderful is in the original tongue a noun, so that it would be translated, He is a wonder. Because in the original language there, when two nouns occur together, they are said to be in such a relationship that this form, Wonderful Counselor, could more easily be translated according to the language that He is the wonder of a counselor. He is a wonder. Not merely is this child wonderful, but He is a wonder. When something is a wonder, it is normally too exceptional for words. Sometimes when we look through the window, in examining a new child, visiting someone in the hospital, we will sometimes hear the comment, he or she is a little wonder, isn't she? Isn't it a wonder? The miracle of birth itself. Well, here is one whose name is Wonder. When the angel, who was the Lord Himself, appeared to Manoah to announce to Manoah the birth of Samson in the Old Testament, Manoah asked the angel, "What is your name?" The angel replied, "My name is Peli, incomprehensible. My name is Wonder." So is this child who is about to be born. His name is Wonder. It is incomprehensible. Thank, praise God for His unspeakable gift, Jesus Christ. His name is Wonder. We think of something extraordinary as a wonder, and such was the Son of God. His teaching was extraordinary. It was a wonder. When He taught in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, with such comments as these, "I say to you, that if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body to be cast into hell." Not only was His teaching a wonder, but also His power was a wonder. When He taught such things as the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew against the house that was built on sand and the house collapsed. You know, the Scripture says that the people were amazed at the teaching and the power of the Son of God, at this Christ child who was going to be born. He is a wonder. His teaching was a wonder and His power was a wonder. But do you know what was even perhaps the most remarkable wonder of all? Like the hymn says, "Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, to think that Jesus loves me." That is the wonder. That God should look upon you with love in His heart. As He looked upon you with love in His heart when He sent this child to be the lover of your soul. And when they saw Jesus weeping over Lazarus, the Jews remarked, "Behold how he loved him." Jesus' lover. There is the wonder of this child. Not only is he a wonder, he is also called Wonder or Wonderful Counselor. And this term, this name, describes the uniqueness of the child. Why? Because other children, as well as adults, sometime or other, are going to need counselors. They need wisdom. They need knowledge. They need somebody to give them advice. But not this child. This child is the counselor. This child is wisdom. This child is knowledge. For he became to us the wisdom of God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Jesus Christ is himself God's wisdom. He doesn't need a counselor, but he is the source of all true counseling. He has sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is called the Counselor, the Spirit of Jesus. Do you need counsel? Then you must find it in Jesus Christ, because he is the source of all true counsel. It's interesting that this name, counsel, also means in its basic form a plan. And it suggests that this child, when he is born, he has a plan. He has counsel. What is the plan that he has? Well, the plan that he has is demonstrated in chapter 11, verse 6. If you would like to turn a page. In verse 6, it's talking about what this child would do. It says, "The wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat, and the calf and the lion with the yearling together, and a little child will lead them." Why, this child will produce. This child and his plan will produce the kind of peace on earth that a Reagan and a Gorbachev can only dream about. Indeed, their imagination could not dream of such a peace in the world as the child may bring. Well, there is a plan to be fulfilled, and that is the plan that there would be peace in the world, that there would be peace among men. Wonderful Counselor. Do you see it? There is a question that Job asked in Job 15, verse 8, where he says this: "Do you listen to God's counsel?" And I ask you this morning, are you listening to God's counsel? Because God's counsel is available only through the Counselor, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And in order to listen to the counsel of God, you must know Him. And you must be listening to Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? Are you listening to God's counsel because Jesus Christ is your counselor? And do you spend every day, sometime in God's Word, listening to the counsel of God speaking to you through His Word? Well, He has a counsel for you. He has a plan for you, and He offers His plan to you, not on your approval, but He offers it completely in Jesus Christ, that if you will acknowledge Him, that if you will come to Him, that if you will believe in Him, that if you will trust in Him, then He offers the plan of eternal salvation and forgiveness and joy and peace in this life and in the life to come. I had a very pleasant experience this past week. I had an occasion to meet with one of our international students. He's not here today, but this student has recently become a Christian. And I was asking him about his faith and how he became a Christian and whether or not he really understood what had happened to him and the step that he has taken. And indeed, he seemed to understand, and yet there were some questions about eternal life and the life hereafter. He wanted to trust Christ and to have his sins forgiven, and yet heaven was not yet in the picture to him. And to explain it to him was sheer joy to give one, not only forgiveness today, but also the promise of eternal security in him. That is God's counsel to you and God's plan for you. Do you know that of God's counsel? Do you have his plan? Do you know God's counsel as being one of forgiveness for you today and of hope in eternity? He is the wonderful counselor. He is also, as Isaiah names this child through prophecy, the mighty God. Again, as we look back in the original tongue, we find that the term mighty actually means hero, that he is the God of a hero. Mighty God, the God of a hero. If I were to ask you, who is your hero today, or heroine, who would you say? Maybe some of you would suggest Ronald Reagan, or Bo Jackson, or Chris Everett Lloyd, or Michael J. Fox, or some musician. That would be your hero. That would be the person that you would really like to just, you know, spend some time with. And get to know. A statistical poll was made several years ago from asking students who was the most respected man that they admired. I don't remember the precise listing, but I remember that there were different men, including the president, and even Jesus Christ was in there. He wasn't number one, but he was in there. How many of us would indeed, without consciously thinking of it, how many of us would say that Jesus Christ is my hero? You see, this is what the term means, that he is the mighty God, means that he is the God of a hero, that he is himself the hero who defends and he fights for his people. That's what the term suggests. It is a term of sheer deity of God. It means that he is the mighty God. Remember about whom we are speaking. We're speaking about the little child that is about to be born. His name is going to be called Mighty God. He is nothing less than God himself. This child will be God born in human form. He will be God incarnate. How could the Jews miss it? That this one, Jesus Christ, is none other than the God of the Old Testament, the God of the Bible, the only living God, the only God who is. It is Jesus Christ. He is God in the flesh. How could Jehovah's Witnesses miss it? How could the Jews miss it? How can you miss it? Do you see it yet, that Jesus is God? Well, that means a couple of things. One is that it means that he not only has a plan, as we go back to the fact that he is a counselor and a planner, he not only has a plan which is good for your life, but you know what else? He actually has the power, because he is the mighty God, to carry out his plan. I mean, the way I hear some people talk and the way some books are written, even supposedly on comfort, you would think that God, poor God, his hands are tied. He can't do anything about this world. I mean, evil is happening, but there he is. He wants to, but he just can't do it. But that's not how our Bible reads. Our Bible says that he is the mighty God, that he is the wonderful counselor. His plan is good, and his power is intact, and he is guiding everything according to his plan to accomplish it. Dear friend, are you a part of God's wonderful plan? Because as the Negro spiritual says, your hands, your arms are too short to box with God, because you won't win. God will win. Are you tracked with God's will and God's counsel? If you're not, you'll lose. Because God, in his sovereignty and in his goodness, will accomplish exactly what he intends. Well, quickly, let's move on to the third name that is here, and it is the name Everlasting Father. Isn't that an unusual name for a child? No one would come up with that except God when he is speaking about Jesus. He is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. The emphasis in this name is actually on the Father aspect and not the everlasting. So that one actually could translate this better, he is a Father forever. Rather than everlasting Father, Father forever. The first two terms that we looked at describe Christ in his excellencies. The next two, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, describe Christ in relationship to what he is in terms of his people. What he is to his people. He is firstly an Everlasting Father. That is what Christ would be to them. That is, he provides for their needs. What is the image that the New Testament gives of Christ? It is the image of the Good Shepherd. Not only that, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. You really can't separate between the two. We do in terms of position, in terms of description, but the essence of God is one, and so God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are one God. And he is a Father. Not only is he a Father, he is a Father forever. Some people live as if they have no Heavenly Father. Do you know the little poem about the two birds talking to each other? It goes like this. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no Heavenly Father, such as cares for you and me. Christ is a Father to us. He is a Father forever. Alexander McLaren, a great preacher of another century, made one little comment about this thought. He said this, quote, dying men need an undying Christ. The child who is going to be born is an undying Christ. He is a Father, and He is undying. And I want to ask you, dear Christian, is your life characterized by a hand trusting in a Father who is a Father forever? Do you live and make use of God as your heavenly Father? Well, firstly, you must be a son, or you must be a daughter of Jesus Christ. Are you a son and a daughter here this morning? Wouldn't it be a great Christmas if you're not a Christian? If you can't say that Christ is your Father forever, wouldn't it be a great Christmas for you if you trusted in Christ this morning? Or some of you to trust afresh and say, Father, Father Christ, forgive me for not treating you as my Father in heaven. I've been so anxious. I've been so worried. I've been so bothered. I've been so angry. I've been so fearful when you're my Father. Is He your Father? Then act like it, Christian. Then there is a last name, and that name is Prince of Peace. You see, the child's work is to bring peace to society. We've already read Isaiah chapter 11. We didn't finish that portion. Let me read verse 7. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra. And the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I believe interpreting Scripture in the way in Scripture intended it to be interpreted. But I will say this, there seems to be a promise in Scripture that has not yet been fulfilled. And that is this promise right here upon planet Earth, that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Won't that be grand? That tells me that there has yet occurred a revival, an awakening of gospel truth throughout this world that the planet has yet to see. The first century was great and praise God, and the Reformation was great and praise God, and the 18th century Great Awakening was great, praise God. But I do not believe that we have seen yet the awakening that has to occur on this planet when the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Won't that be great? The work of this child is to bring a peace. Now, I am not a pessimist by nature. But if you and I think that Reagan and Gorbachev, in their summit meeting beginning tomorrow, and if we think that the limitations on medium-range missiles is going to produce peace on Earth, then we better think again. I mean, the Bible is clear as to what will bring peace on Earth. There is only one way, and that is Jesus Christ. If you convert Gorbachev and the Russians, and though we look at them perhaps as our enemies, yet we are to love, and our purpose is not to destroy. Our purpose is to see them one for Jesus Christ and the gospel, that His kingdom would be established in Moscow. That ought to be our prayer. And when these two men are converted, then the prospect of peace is there. It's exciting. He is to bring peace to society, and this child will bring peace to you and me. How will he do that? Well, Isaiah again tells us, if you look in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, it says this about this child. He was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. The Bible says that you and I are enemies of God. That we are the enemies of God and that we all stand under God's judgment. But this child was presented to God because God loved you as a peace offering between God and man. He offers you peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, Paul tells us, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, do you have that peace? Are the names of the Son of God a reality in your own life? Is He a wonderful counselor? God's purpose is that Christ, as the wonderful counselor, as the mighty God incarnate child, God as a child, that He would become a Father forever to you, to all who will seek peace through Him. What about you? Do you know this child as the Prince of Peace? Do you know Jesus Christ, mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, the Wonderful Counselor? Are you tracked? Are you on His plan? If there are those of you here this morning who can't really say that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'd love to have the opportunity to meet with you and to talk with you and let God give to you the best Christmas gift ever. Let's pray.